Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church, and as all of you know, it's God's house. It's the place He's provided for us to come and worship Him each Sunday, and I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. To many people, Easter is just another weekend of no work and fun. To others, it's shopping, visiting friends, visiting families. And to even others, it's chocolate bunnies, Easter egg, and Easter egg hunts. Yet we know the truth. As Christians, to us, Easter memorializes the resurrection of Jesus. It means there is life after death on this earth for those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Easter means a better life. Easter means joy. And the resurrection of Jesus is such an awesome, awesome event. And I think sometimes we forget that there are many who have not heard of the resurrection of Jesus. We have Lottie Moon and the other offerings that we take up for mission work. And we think about mission work, and some even go on mission trips. But I think sometimes just sitting at home or sitting in these pews, we do not think about those thousands upon millions who do not know about the resurrection of Jesus. Now, there are some who do know about the resurrection of Jesus and who doubt that it even occurred. Let me say this, as Connie said in the children's message, and as Jimmy referenced a verse out of Corinthians this morning, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are wasting our time coming to this building every Sabbath day, every Sunday. The words, "He is not here, He is risen," changed the course of history, and they continue to do so today. Let us look at some of the self-proclaimed religious leaders whose flock followed them even unto death and compare them with Jesus. Muhammad did not rise from his grave. Confucius did not rise from his grave. Buddha did not rise from his grave. Jim Jones is dead. David Koresh is dead. Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon religion, is dead. Yet Jesus Christ, our Lord, is alive. He is risen, and we serve a risen Savior this very day. Some people ask, why was the stone moved from in front of the tomb in which Jesus was buried? It certainly was not to allow Jesus an exit. We know Jesus could get out anytime he wanted to. It allowed us to see inside so we could view the empty tomb and know that Jesus had risen. It was to give us proof of the resurrection. Skeptics have attempted to explain away the resurrection of Jesus. But the empty tomb and the fact that history records that Jesus was seen by more than 500 people after he was crucified and after the empty tomb was discovered puts them in a corner. They cannot legitimately explain it away. In fact, biblical and secular scholars, historians, and scientists admit that Jesus rose from the dead, that he walked away from his very tomb. The empty tomb stands for evidence to everyone that Jesus is not dead. He is alive today. The resurrection means victory. It means victory over death. It means victory over the grave. It means victory over hell. And I have selected for our text today one which is not usually read at Easter, as many other selections are read. It's a portion of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, and 42 through 44. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to follow along as I read 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, and verses 42 through 44. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as one abnormally born. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Well, what is the impact of Jesus' resurrection for us? Well, first of all, as believers, Jesus' resurrection means we shall have victory over death. In verse 42, Paul says that we are sown, or what he means is we are born imperishable. That is, we are going to die. Birth means death at some point in our travel through this earth. But however, because of Jesus' resurrection, we become imperishable in spirit. That means we can have eternal life if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. From the moment we receive Him into our life, we have secured the victory over death. Our physical body might fail us, but our soul will never die. We shall be raised from the grave to live with Jesus in heaven for eternity. In Luke's account of the resurrection, the angel said to the women who had come to the empty tomb, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And at the time, they did not understand that question, but they soon would. In Jesus, the greatest of men and women and the lowliest of men and women have assurance that death is no longer the victor. No longer can have a victory over them because of Jesus' resurrection. As a result of Jesus' resurrection, we as believers shall have victory over sin's dominion. Paul goes on to say in those verses that we are sown or born in dishonor. In other words, we are born into sin. And he says, but because of the resurrection of Jesus, we are raised in the glory of the Father. And when we invite Jesus into our lives, we are washed clean of all of our sins by His blood, and we are able to stand before God spotless as if we had never sinned. And that's the only way we can come into God's presence. We've talked about this before, that we have to be holy enough to stand in God's presence. And the only way that God could accomplish that was to send His Son to die for our sins so that we could be cleansed enough that we could spend eternity in His presence. Paul teaches that we are sown or born in weakness, yet through the resurrection of Jesus, we are raised. We are raised in power. We are born weak with no power to resist sin and temptation. But we are able with the resurrection of Jesus to have the power over the sin in our lives broken if we but allow him to come in. God's word teaches us that all power is given unto them who believe. Though we were dead, yet shall we live. And these statements mean that because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have power over sin. We have power over lust of the flesh. We have power over temptation. We have power over drugs and alcohol and power over broken relationships and power over financial bondage. Power over every circumstance that we shall encounter in our lives. Because Jesus died and because he arose. Not just because he died. Let's get that straight. Many religious leaders have died. All of Paul's apostles died except John, an unnatural death. They were martyred for the cause. But only Jesus, who arose from the dead, gives us that power. The power through his resurrection. And since the power of God was able to raise Jesus from the dead, how much more so can that same power enable us to live extraordinary lives in service to him? Jesus' resurrection demonstrates the power that God can give us to make a comeback, to come back to him. Separated from his Father, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we know that God is the God of second and third and fourth chances. He does not forsake us. And what seemed like a hopelessness on Friday afternoon was to become the greatest comeback on Sunday morning. Let me tell you that no matter how far you have strayed from God, no matter how long you have been on a wayward path, no matter how long you have traveled that broad and wide way, because of the resurrection of Jesus, you can reach up from wherever you are and grab God's hand, and he will pull you from the depths of sin, despair, whatever condition is affecting you, you can come back to him. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates the reach of God's redemption. And this is where Paul gets even more personal. He writes in verses 7 through 8, "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." Now in Greek, the phrase "one abnormally born" born is expressed by one word, which means snatched from the womb, as in a cesarean section or as in an abortion. Paul had nothing of which to be proud, remember. He persecuted Christians. He reveled in it. He enjoyed it until his Damascus Road experience, when God struck him to his knees and blinded him. And he was convicted by God to serve him as an apostle. He says, "I am the least of the apostles, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, was snatched from the depths of sinlessness by God. And here he is emphasizing that no matter how unworthy we are, no matter how undeserving we are of God's grace, that when we come to him confessing our sins and inviting him into our lives, he reaches down, grabs us by the hand, and pulls us into his everlasting arms and gives us the love and comfort and peace that will give us peace here on earth and will also give us a life eternal with him. Hallelujah, Jesus is risen. The empty tomb is just a reminder of whom we serve. We serve a risen Lord. No other religion can make that claim. We serve a risen Lord, and because of that, we can have eternal life with Him. So as we celebrate Easter today, let's focus our life on the resurrection of Jesus. Let's act in the power we are given by God as born-again believers. Let's remember the sin and sickness and disease which He washed from our bodies with the blood and sacrifice of His Son Jesus. As a result of Jesus' resurrection, we have victory over death's defeat, victory over sin's dominion. We have the power of God to come back to Him, to make a comeback in our lives, as well as God's redemptive power. He will take anyone, and He can redeem anyone. Remember that as we leave this place today and as we go into the week. There may be people that you think are unredeemable, and maybe you haven't approached them and told them about this risen Savior. But remember, God can redeem anyone. He forgives everyone. He accepts everyone into His kingdom if they would but believe on Him. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if you don't believe in Him as your Lord and Savior, if the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and mind today such that you say, yes, I want to serve a risen Savior, then we invite you to come forward and make a public profession of your faith in Jesus. Come forward if you wish to move your membership here for whatever reason. We invite you to do that as we sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 326.